90.5 WKAR, you're listening to Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. This month, the U.S. House will begin debating, amending, and rewriting President Obama's proposed 2015 defense budget. Over the next 5 years, the administration proposes spending $115 billion above the cap Congress enacted as part of the budget sequestration process. The plan could set up a showdown between Congress and the White House, and that could affect funding for the Michigan National Guard. Current State's Kevin Lavery's been looking into this. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I am well. There are no active military bases in Michigan, but our state is still impacted by this discussion.
That is correct. The active duty and the National Guard often play tug of war when it comes to the budget cycle and the funding when that rolls around. That's nothing new. This time, though, the proposed cuts in troop levels really have Michigan's military leaders concerned. I spoke with Major General Gregory Vadney. He is the Adjutant General of the Michigan National Guard. He and others are trying to freeze the size of the force and keep its funding intact. He's worried that these cuts could put our national security at significant risk.
Our ability to do, and we call it the away game, and ensure that we have the resources that we need here to defend the homeland are extremely questionable. And we end up putting all our service members at great risk in doing what we're doing. And I would tell you that it sends absolutely the wrong message to the rest of the world, particularly those people that would threaten us. Drawing down the world's greatest military is probably what you don't want to be doing today.
Does national security follow an ebb and flow pattern? 25 years ago, the Berlin Wall came down. It was the end of the Cold War. And almost 15 years ago was 9/11, so there was a ramp up. Does national security follow patterns like the economy does?
That is true. And I would tell you that when we off ramp, we call it the peace dividend, and we have never been very good. I can't think of any instance where we, with any kind of certainty, have predicted when the next conflict would be. Ramping down and ramping back up comes at huge cost in terms of both time and money, and I would argue exponentially higher than maintaining what I would consider the appropriate size force to meet the needs of our national security strategy. There are costs to maintaining the appropriate size military, and I get that. But I would advocate that there are greater costs to not doing it, and our Congress has done what no foreign military could do to the United States military.
You have made the argument that this can be a much more cost-effective force than the regular Army or the regular Air Force or the regular Navy because of its ability to mobilize and because it just has a lower per-soldier cost than the regular Army.
And that's correct. And one other caveat I want to add to that is if you go back and read the Constitution, you know, a large standing military force was only contemplated during times of a national emergency or really a global war. With that being said, and there are multiple studies that are out there that show the fully burdened cost of not just the Guard, but any reserve component member. It's about roughly a third the cost of an active component a military member, and that only makes sense unless mobilized. And understand, and particularly over the last 12 to 13 years of war, and I do thank the Congress of the United States for this, is that the commitment was made to fund, to buy all the equipment, to spend the dollars to train the Guard to the readiness levels equivalent to that of the active component when they're mobilizing. So I would tell you today that we are absolutely equipped, and our training standards are not the National Guard training standards. They are the United States Army's or the United States Army Air Force's. And understand, look, the active component, the fight tonight capability, all branches of service reside in the active component, as it should be. And the only exception to that that I'm aware of is in the Air National Guard, because we do have the same requirement and are trained and funded and equipped to really roll out in about 72 hours.
Glad you said the Michigan Air National Guard. There seems to be some funding disparity in terms of what our state Air National Guard is paying toward the total force across the country, if you can shed some light on that.
If you looked from the presidential budget in 13 and all the cuts that came out of that, all the way through the presidential budget for 15 that is on the table and will be actioned through 19, the Michigan Air National Guard will have to pay in manpower 36% of the total manpower drawdown of the Air National Guard. That comes from the fact that we fly the A-10, which the Air Force wants to take down out of the system, which is the finest close support aircraft that there is. They've got their reasons for doing it. I understand that, but I can't tell you how many coalition forces' lives the A-10 has saved and its contribution to the warfight, but it would be significant. So we are working with the Air National Guard, National Guard Bureau, to offset this disproportionate cut that the Michigan Air National Guard's absorbing.
Is the National Guard in this state or any always up against a relevance issue, a communicating the message of your importance to the everyday citizen? How difficult is that?
Yeah, well, it's just a matter of understanding the value that both the state and nation gets from the Guard. And, you know, I have to, with virtual assurance and certainty, be able to look the governor in the eye and give him, you know, my guarantee that we've got a ready force to roll out tonight if needed, and we do.
There is a piece of legislation making its way through the U.S. House. House Bill 3930, that would protect in some way from further cuts the funding that we're talking about for the Guard units and keeping it from being swallowed up by the regular military. Where does that stand now, and what type of support do we have among our Michigan congressional delegation to keep that intact?
Yeah, so House Bill 3930 and one of the originating sponsors, Representative Candace Miller. There's really three pieces to it, and this has ended up with a little spat between the active component and the reserve component, and that always is what happens when dollars start getting tight. Again, three pieces to the bill. The first piece is that we freeze the strength of the National Guard at $350,000. Two, that a National Commission on the Army is formed like we just did with the Air Force, which would be an unbiased look at what the mix should be, and then presented to the Congress of the United States, who funds the military. And then the third piece is, and we haven't talked about this, but the active component has proposed to take all of our Apache helicopters out, which we are pushing back on. And would stop that until all the analytical work is done. And, you know, this isn't an us versus them. It really is not. And I've got nothing but tremendous respect. We are part of the total Army. We are part of the total Air Force. But I'm telling you that in today's constrained budgetary environment, the business case drives you to what I just laid out to you, Kevin.
So again, a lot of this rests on this pending legislation, House Bill 3930. Are you yourself going to the Hill anytime soon to lobby for this?
Yeah, I've been up there, and I would tell you that we've got my legislative liaisons on the Hill today. I think we've gotten six members of the House have signed on. We're asking the remaining members to come on board, or, you know, please to explain to me why they're not. And, you know, free and democratic society. That's what we're all about, and I get that. But I want to make sure that we've had the opportunity to explain our position. And I think, and not just for the National Guard, but for the nation, let's not rush to failure. If anybody takes anything away from what I've said in this interview, is we are about to go through a dynamic transition in the United States military in terms of what our capability is. And is that what you want to message to the world today? And does anybody think that the world's any safer just because we happen to have come out of Iraq and we're coming out of Afghanistan? I got that. But remember what I said earlier. We're not very good at predicting when the next fight is. I don't know when that will be, where it will be. My job, as it is to all of us that wear the military, the cloth of this great nation, is to be prepared when that is, to take up arms and defend this country. And that's what we're all about.
Major General Gregory Vadnais is the Adjutant General, that is the commanding officer of the Michigan National Guard. General Vadnais, thank you for your input and your thoughts on this.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.